This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Goats have home lives too.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Hurts hitting it, and Lamar hitting it, and Justin Herbert hitting it. None of them have as many guaranteed dollars in their contracts as Deshaun Watson has.
The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Mike Hill. Earlier on the show, Fox Sports college football analyst Brady Quinn, former heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder. Coming up, comedian Tony Rock. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Mike Hill.
Final hour on this Friday. Fun Friday. Freestyle Friday. Mike Hill filling in for Rich Eisen on the Rich Eisen Show. TJ, Mike Hill, and Chris Brockman hanging out. The crew, man. Y'all a good crew. Y'all actually like each other, too.
Chris and TJ have enough of me.
For the most part.
Actually, y'all sit around, y'all powwow, y'all converse with one another. I noticed these types of things. I've been in this business for a long time.
It's funny you bring that up, Mike, because the other day, we're talking about the Buffalo scenario and whether Diggs and Josh Allen put their little beef to the side. And Rich was like, well, it's good to know because they have to like each other. And I'm sitting there, we went to break. It's not necessarily necessary that you like your coworkers, especially on the sports team, but you do have to respect each other in order to win. I mean, I feel very fortunate. I love these two guys, and I know I probably get on their nerves every now and then, but for the most part,
TJ,
it's great to come in and
TJ,
just work with people you can stand and you like. And so
I wept a little.
Took those black heart.
Y'all want to have a group hug? I love this, man. Love that.
Deontay Wilder, man, we're zen.
We're zen. I see the candles are working, baby. Man. It's like this is about love and positivity.
How can you not have fun doing this?
I love doing this, bro. Like you guys have so much fun. I enjoy doing this show. This is the type of show that one day I hope to have. You know what I'm saying? So we'll see. Yeah, but I do. But when it comes to liking your coworker, I don't think you have to like your coworker. I think there has to be a bit of respect.
That's what I'm saying.
That person does, and there has to be trust. I think the trust is important, especially between a quarterback and a wide receiver.
No doubt.
A quarterback definitely has to trust his wide receiver, and the wide receiver's got to be able to trust his quarterback to get him the football. Shaq and Kobe proved you ain't got to like each other to win championships. Plenty of teammates didn't like each other. Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook didn't like each other, obviously, for a lot of reasons. When they broke up or whatever and stuff like that. But at the same time, it's respect. If you know you got two great players playing on the same team, man, you're trying to have a common goal, do it. Same thing. When I was in the military and I was in the Air Force, I didn't like everybody I was in the Air Force with. I didn't. But I knew it was part of the team. It was part of our unit. So we had a mission that we had to take care of. And it taught me how to be organized. It taught me how to work with a team. It taught me how to complete a mission together. And it's not about the individual. So, yeah, I know a lot of wide receivers are very diva-ish. Mm-hmm. But, if they want to win a Super Bowl, they got to be definitely on the same page. Before we get to the outrageous statements, so I want this quick thing on the fight, man. I love that this fight is getting some hype and generating fight because these two guys aren't huge household names. Would you say they're not?
To the boxing fan.
And right now, there really isn't a huge household name in the world of boxing. Maybe Deontay might be the closest. Mayweather is kind of retired doing these exhibition bouts out there.
Well, Mike, also the problem is right now, unfortunately, and I'll give him respect. I give anyone respect who goes into a ring or an octagon or a field or a court. But your biggest names, Chris, I think right now are kind of like the YouTubers, unfortunately, who are going out there and putting on these shows, So for me, it's great to actually have two real boxers, two sweet scientists go in there. And I'm so looking forward to this fight.
Who are skilled. And like I was talking about with Deontay, they can bring non-boxing fans to boxing. If they go in there and they put on a show and they become household names, that's why it's important to put on that show. We don't have the Ollies of the world. We don't have the Tysons of the world. Sugar Ray. We don't have the De La Hoyas. We don't have the Floyds right now. The UFC is kind of taking over.
Definitely.
Conor McGregor still kind of the hot person or hype person in boxing. Maybe John Jones.
There's a great UFC card this week, too. So, that's going to take, unfortunately, some eyes off of this great
boxing
match.
Give Tyson Fury some respect, man. This guy is maybe one of the best heavyweight champs of all time. He's just kind of waiting his turn for the next big fight. And I think we need to pay that guy some respect, dude.
But see, here's the problem with Tyson Fury. And Tyson Fury did beat Deontay two times in a row, and a lot of people say he probably won the first fight. A lot of people, I felt like it was Deontay's because that's my homeboy, and then I sided with Deontay with those two knockdowns. But Fury, the fact that Fury hasn't had that opponent that has been that huge trilogy outside of Wilder.
Well, like, no one's really challenged him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But the heavyweight division for the longest time used to be Ali, Larry Holmes was in it, of course. The big, you know, Mike Tyson. When they had the heavyweights that were, like, popular, that's when you can, like, other boxers could gain respect. That's when the Lennox Lewis's of the world could gain respect because Lennox Lewis could go in there and fight a Holyfield or he could fight a Tyson or whatever. With Tyson Fury, he hasn't had those big fights outside of Deontay Wilder that people are talking about. So boxing fans will always respect the boxers. Like Charlo Brothers. I mean, people respect boxers. Don't get me wrong. Garcia. People respect, in the world of boxing, people respect the boxers out there. I'm talking about the people who are non-boxing fans who want to see an event to bring in those pay-per-views to make their purses even bigger. Because the boxers rely heavily, not just on the purse, but on the pay-per-views because they get a cut of the pay-per-views. And if you have a great boxing match like this where everybody's talking about it, they're going to have the fight parties or whatever, that's what's going to happen. What I like about this, usually you have a few things to attract non-boxing fans to the fight game. You got hype, some kind of hate. There's like a pre-fight brawl during the press conference, somebody cursing each other out, their moms. Now, I did see Bud Crawford did get into it, I believe, with some of Errol Spence.
Someone on Spence's camp.
Yeah, and it was cursing, but he was even calm there. You need those household names. You need that huge personality, a Mike Tyson-like person, Floyd Mayweather. You need that villain. One of them has to be the villain sometimes. Tyson, you could love or hate him or whatever. Floyd Mayweather, you love or you hate Floyd Mayweather. You know, people, sometimes Muhammad Ali, when he fought, people wanted to shut him up back in the day. Remember?
Yeah. Just,
Mike Tyson, even though you knew he was going to knock somebody out in the first or second round, you still went to see that because Mike Tyson was just that guy and he got that type of respect. That's not the case in this fight. These two fighters don't act like they hate each other. They respect each other. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They're not best friends. They want to get it on. But they're not cursing each other out, calling each other's names and saying anything about anybody's mamas. Once again, they're not the household names out there. They don't have the huge personalities that you see out there. They are knockout artists. You know what I'm saying? And neither one of them is a villain. You know, they're kind of likable people. Errol Spence was in a car accident a couple of years ago. Came back and still fought his ass off. And Bud Crawford is just a great boxer. So I'm looking forward to this fight because we got two of the best pound for pound fighting in their primes. And usually we wait for a boxing match like this so long that by the time they fight,
one of them's not in the prime.
Look at Floyd and Pacquiao.
Yeah.
We finally got that fight and
it
was awful.
And it was awful because one of them is past his prime. We wait so long. You know, when Roy Jones fought Bernard Hopkins again.
Yeah.
You know, he was waiting for that. It was just so long, man, because of the two. So I'm just looking forward to this fight, and I really hope that it lives up to the hype. And I can put my bottom dollar, my last dollar. I ain't got too much money, but I put money on it that this fight is going to live up to the hype.
I'm hoping.
Outrageous takes around the NFL. We've been asking you to call us in. Call in 844-204-RICH, 844-204-RICH. Call in with your outrageous takes around the National Football League going into the season. I already gave a couple. Minnesota Vikings, that was last week, going to represent the NFC this year, get back to the Super Bowl for the fifth time ever, first time I think since the 70s, and that Kirk Cousins would be an MVP, and I got another one. But we're going to go around the room.
Let's do it.
We're going to do our outrageous NFL takes going into this season. Who are we going to start off with? Let's start off with You start off,
Mike. You go. Let's go.
Go ahead, Mike.
Here's my outrageous take.
Okay.
You guys are all on. I'm with the Jets.
Oh.
I think the Jets are actually going to do well this year.
I agree with you.
I think they're going to make the playoffs, and they're going to go a little deeper than people think.
Final four?
You think they're going to go to the AFC Championship game? Because that would be an outrageous take.
I'm not going that far.
Okay.
They're definitely making it. They're going to make it past. They're going to be a wild card.
Win a playoff game.
That's my prediction right off the bat.
Win a playoff game.
They're going to win a playoff game.
The Jets, has it been a minute since the Jets made it to the playoffs?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
how many years was it?
12, something like 12 that.
Years. Yeah, I think that's the longest active streak in the NFL. That the Jets. Wow.
Now, if there's an if with this,
right?
Aaron stays healthy.
Yeah.
That team plays. Sal's amazing. I mean, I love that guy, and he's got the moxie. That's my one prediction, and my second one is the Denver Broncos. They're another team that's going to go deep in.
That's
with
what
you
I say.
On that, Mike.
Jets
and Broncos win a playoff game.
Both. Yeah.
Wow. You know, hey, this is National Football League. What was sorry last year could be contenders this year. That's what I love about the National Football League and the NFL. And if the Jets sign, I think they're going to sign Dalvin Cook. It sounds like Dalvin is all in. He wants to go to the Jets. Like I, you know what? Still the Jets.
Remember, this is a bold, outrageous statement.
The bold, outrageous statement. I like that. Okay, I'm going to go with that. TJ, you want to be next?
Mike, I'll hop in next. Hey, Mike, you do me a favor. Yep. What is it that Robert Saleh said?
Hold on.
You can't play that, can you?
You ain't got no haters, you ain't popping.
Right, so if you ain't got no haters, you ain't popping, according to Jets coach. No, why did he say that?
Because of what Sean Payton said.
Because Sean Payton came in and he like kind of scorching the earth that was left behind in Denver,
Nathaniel Hackett,
You know, as a famous rapper once said, it's that ether. It makes you burn real slow.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with Del Tufa. Mm. We went into last season thinking that the Broncos were going to do something, right? And they didn't do nothing except make us think that their coach should have been canned after week one. You wanted a bold, outrageous statement for the upcoming season.
Outrageous.
I'm going to say with the addition of Sean Payton as head coach, that Mr. Sierra, Danger Russ Wilson, his bounce back season will win him the most valuable player of the National
Football. I like that.
Russell Wilson, bounce back season, wins him the MVP.
I'm watching him work out.
Dang.
He looks in shape. He looks like he's Buff Bagwell right now. He's flexible. He's doing the thing where he's doing slides.
Playing with future son.
Kettleballing, and he's hanging out. He's raising another man's kids, which gives you a check in my book. Look, man, why not? You wanted something bold. You wanted something outrageous. A lot of people were writing this man off last year saying he was washed. I do not believe Russell Wilson is washed. And hey, I'm going to make a bold statement. It's him.
I don't know about the MVP, but he's definitely going to be a Pro Bowl guy. And I think the Denver Broncos are going to have a good season. And Russell Wilson's definitely going to bounce back. But, yeah, that's
MVP.
A lot of people will say that's outrageous. MVP.
That's what you wanted.
Okay, that I love it. I love it.
Got to give the people what they want.
Brockman, can you top that?
All right. We'll see. I don't know.
He got stolen earlier.
Shout out Turzo for taking mine. I was going to say non-QB wins MVP this year for the first time since Adrian Peterson. But that's already out there. So let's go this way. There have been – who won the Super Bowl last year?
The Chiefs.
The Chiefs.
Kansas City Chiefs. They had previously won before, right?
They had.
There are 12 teams in the NFL who have never won a Super Bowl.
I know.
A lot of them hasn't even sniffed it.
That's why I won't talk to those
Cardinals,
teams.
Cardinals, Falcons, Panthers, Browns. I'm going to say that we are going to have a first-time – Super Bowl champion this year. Could it be the Chargers? Oof. Herbert gets paid and lifts Lombardi. Could Buffalo finally get over the hump and raise Lombardi? Everyone is on the Lions bandwagon this year. Could Jared Goff, who's been to a Super Bowl, get the Lions to the promised land? What about Joe Burrow?
I'm rooting
for Joe Burrow. And fans of Cincinnati, I think we're going to have a first-time Super Bowl champ this year. It's been quite some time.
Wow. Now, if you would have said, if you say the Detroit Lions just to get to the Super Bowl, that would be like outrageous. I'm going to run out of here and just let you guys finish the rest of the hour. Seriously. Look, the Cincinnati's, they went to the Super Bowl a couple years ago.
They did. They were so
Joe
close.
Burrow's there. Stays healthy. They got one of the best wide receivers in the league. I mean, come on, man. Like, yeah. I can see that he's got to stay healthy.
Our last first-time winner was Philadelphia was our last first-time winner, but that was
It's 12 teams that's never been to the Super Bowl?
12 teams that never won.
Never won. Okay.
I mean,
okay.
I don't like your take, Brockman, because obviously that means the team I want to win the Super Bowl
Dallas, Giants, Patriots, Rams, all eliminated. We've all won before.
Yeah.
First time Super Bowl champ this year.
Okay, that's interesting. I like that. All right. So, once again, I don't think anything is going to top Kirk Cousins being a top three MVP from last week. or the Minnesota Vikings being the NFC champions.
You got a lot of people in their feelings about that.
And since, you know, I'm a homer, I'm going to be a homer on this one as well. So, the Giants made a big leap last year.
Yep.
Making it to the playoffs, won a playoff game for the first time in a long time last year, knocking off the Minnesota Vikings last year. This year, the New York Giants will win the NFC East. Beating out the Philadelphia Eagles, beating out your Dallas Cowboys, something the Giants haven't done since 2011, believe it or not.
Wow.
Every other team since 2011 has won the NFC East. And not the Giants. The Giants not only will win the NFC East, they will take another step. They will play the Minnesota Vikings in the NFC title game. So it will be a rematch of the, was that 2000?
Last year. 2000,
yeah, 2000. Rematch of the NFC title game in 2000.
Oh, yeah.
When the Giants beat the Vikings.
Kerry Collins.
Yep. Kerry Collins. Yeah. There's a blowout, too. Denny Green running off the field mad. That's when they had Chris. They had all. Dante Culpepper, I believe, is quarterback. Or maybe it was it Randall?
2000, I think it was Randall Cunningham.
Randall. May have been Randall. Wow. But, yeah. The New York Giants will play. Oh, God. I'm like, I can't even believe this myself.
It's outrageous.
Hey, you know what? I can just blame me hanging out with TJ.
And him lighting candles.
Not those kind of candles, TJ. That could be
that. That is spicy.
Yeah, that's spicy. All right. So let's see what kind of hate we'll get in Twitter this week.
Love it.
Coming up next, we're going to talk to my man, a very funny guy. A great comedic family, but a man who's making a huge name of his own in the stand-up world. Tony Rock joins us next right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Stick around.
Are you currently enjoying the show on the Stitcher app? Then you need to know Stitcher is going away on August 29th. Yep, going away, as in kaput, gone, dead. Rest in peace, Stitcher. And thanks for 15 years of service to the podcast community. So switch to another podcast app and follow this show there. Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
Kevin Hart, why didn't security let you onto the Philadelphia Eagles podium after they won the Super Bowl?
Listen, Rich. First of all, they're haters, Rich. That's the thing. They're haters, and they couldn't see me. If they would have saw me, then they would have known who I was, and I would have been right up there with the Philadelphia Eagles, bringing in the good times and year. Because, you know, it was celebration time. And I say, the next time, I need you all to know who I am, because I'm the biggest star on the freaking planet. Like, it's me and The Rock. That's it. It's me and The Rock, Rich. That's it. It's nobody else.
Incredible.
I'm about to sell out the solar system. Bam. That's what I'm going to do.
And The Rock says, I'm just playing, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Did you do a rock?
The Rock says, jabroni, you see, Rich Eisen, The Rock, the Brahma Bull, sitting here, you're talking about Kevin Hart. Why did he get escorted away from the Philadelphia Eagles? That's because he was drunk, Rich. He was drunk, Rich. The Rock doesn't drink. The Rock, you know what The Rock does? The Rock has a juice. The Rock has a cleanse, because every day at 2 p.m., I said 2 p.m., The Rock drops a deuce. That's what he does.
I got another good one for you. I'd like to ask Jason Statham, what do you think about the NFL's new targeting rules to make the game safer?
Let's see here. In the game of football, you have to be really, really rough. And if you're rough, that's when you get a good show. Now, if you're not rough, then it's going to be a little punsy. So I think they shouldn't do it, because I don't like punsies. I hate pansies. You know pansies, people I beat up in my films. I beat them up all the time. And you know what I do after I'm finished with them? I sit on top of their bodies, and I have sex with me girl.
Again, that took a turn. That took a turn.
Mike Hill back on the Rich Eisen Show. You guys should have a like a clip of all these great guests that you guys have had over the years and just run them back to back, man. Like just,
that's what we do here,
it's
Mike.
It's so amazing. This is an amazing show, man. Rich does a great job. You guys do a great job putting it all together.
Check out our YouTube page.
Yeah, they're all YouTube, there.
And the people behind the scenes, too. Shout out to everybody behind the scenes. And
guys at home.
All the guys at home and the people that are running that. So, yeah, shout out to you. Because a lot of times you see the faces in front of the camera, but this machine runs because of the producers, the production assistants, the directors. We love you.
I'm probably the least important person in this whole train. I'm just going
to
be.
No, you're very important, TJ. You're an integral part of the train that holds this together. You know what I mean? Like even the caboose has a function.
Conjunction junction. That's
yeah,
I'm it has like, a sure function.
We were going. You know, even if you're talking weird, there's a why is there a caboose?
Okay. Funny you ask.
Mike,
do you know the answer to this?
The caboose is where the crew used to sleep in the old days. I might be wrong in the whole thing, but that's where it was kind of like, that was like the sleep car for the crew. But if you look it up, it probably more than one thing.
Mike, you're right about that. Cabooses provide shelter for crew at the end of the train who are formerly required in switching and shunting, keeping a lookout for load shifting, damage to equipment and cargo, overheating axles, etc.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So I only know that because I really wanted to be a train engineer as a kid.
Oh.
Like, that was a dream gig that, I used to take the PATH trains in New York, and you'd sit up front, and you'd be able to, like, basically see the train going through the tunnel and stuff, which I loved. So when I'd go with my father, and every so often, I would, like, knock on the door. One of the guys, like let me in.
Oh, really?
And I got to sit next to the conductor. One of the coolest things I ever did as a kid.
That's pretty cool, man.
It was so badass.
That's pretty cool. Did you have a train set?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man.
I mean,
we had the racetracks, train sets when you were a kid. Kids don't play with those things anymore.
No. We would set those up at Christmas. That was like the time.
Kids don't drink out of water hoses anymore either, and that's a shame. You know?
Drink out of water hoses?
Yeah, I think you kind of figured out certain things that might come out of the water hoses now. The water's not so clean.
That's why we're healthy. We're a healthier generation.
Yeah, good.
We had to play outside. We weren't allowed in the house. And if we wanted to drink, we had to find out somebody's garden hose.
It was hot water coming out of the garden hose.
Like if you sat in your house after school.
You weren't allowed in the house.
No, but I'm saying, if they would, your mother, like your parents or whatever, would be like, what are you doing in here?
Yeah.
What are you not? Why are you not outside?
Yeah. Why are you not
today
outside?
It's like, the kids outside. It's like, where'd he go? Where'd she go?
Yep.
It's the opposite.
I had one rule. I got booted out, and the only rule was when that street light comes on, you're back home.
Yeah.
My mom didn't know where I was from about 10:30 a.m. to about 6:05 p.m. because I was on my bike riding all around Altoona.
No GPS.
And you couldn't call nobody. You didn't have cell phones. It was just like when the street light comes on, get your butt home. And that was it.
System because your mom could call over to somebody three doors down. Have you seen TJ?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody else has seen you, blah, blah, blah. And it always gets back.
He's
you
up
know,
on the hill
TJ's
right now.
All right. Oh, he's playing with Bubba and May May and them. You know, so that. Oh, he on his bike. We seen him.
I saw Tamagi.
They,
keeping an, right
they keep an eye out for you. They keep an eye out for you. Yeah, but man, kids so don't play outdoors now. You tell the kid to go outdoors now, like, huh?
Outside?
It's outside?
I got to look at the sun.
I don't have Wi-Fi outside. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Waiting for Tony Rock to stop by here on the Rich Eisen Show. He's in Vegas for the fight. Talk to him about a couple of things, of course, stand-up game, and much, much more. Once again, man, looking forward to the fight, looking forward to the NFL season, looking forward to a lot of things. Real quick, though, shout-out to and special wishes and thoughts to LeBron James and the family or whatever. Yeah. Bronny's still recovering. He did leave the hospital yesterday.
That was shocking.
Of course, Yeah, very shocking. A lot of shocking news, man, when it comes to that. To have a healthy 18-year-old kid going to cardiac arrest. And luckily, he was at USC at the time, and they gave him the proper medical attention that he needed to get him to the hospital in time. He's out of the ICU the first day recovering, so hope he can have a 100% return back to the basketball court. Yeah. Just a normal life, man. That's the bottom line. You know, we get so quick to say, hey, can he play basketball again? You know what? I just want the guy to just live a very normal life with that condition that he may have. And we'll see what that condition is. I don't want to speculate that on at all. But shout out to him, and our thoughts and prayers are with him as well.
So, you know, just to jump in there, Mike, because Bronny, Chris, he's someone we've been aware of Bronny since the day he was born.
Yep.
You know, if you're a sports fan, you know LeBron, you know his family, and you've pretty much watched this go from a baby to a child to a young man. So it's like, yeah, man, regardless of how you feel about his dad, your fan or not, it's like you're wishing the best for him. And yeah, like I said, he's a kid we watched grow up right in front of our eyes.
Also, Mike, you'll probably feel the same way. Being a parent, you hear about something like that. That hits just as a father, just being like, man, what if that was my son? What if that was, you know, one of your daughters? Like, it just kind of hit me like, wow, that is so scary just to think that that could happen.
Imagine getting that call, Chris.
Yeah, getting the phone call. Hey, don't be alarmed. You know, your son's had a cardiac issue. They're in the hospital. They're okay. Like, wait, what?
Don't be alarmed. Wait, cardiac.
Excuse me. What? What just happened?
Yeah. I mean, something that he does every day.
Yeah.
He goes out. He plays basketball every day, getting ready for the season. Works out every day. And all of a sudden, this happens. They said he was going up. He was in the air. He came down. Yeah. They said he was in the air, came down, started convulsing or whatever. So, man, it's scary. And the thing is, like you said, as a parent, to think about that. Now you're thinking about that every time if he goes back out on the court. Yep. Now, we don't know exactly what it is, and I know he's going to get the best medical attention that any kid could ever get because of between LeBron and USC and everybody else. They're definitely going to look out for him, whatever. But like you said, as a parent, looking out, thinking about that, think about Savannah. You even want your child to even play.
You always tend to think about the mom for whatever reason.
You have to. That's the baby. So we all know what it's like. Think about this. Damar Hamlin's not related to any of us. Mm-hmm. We all saw.
Yeah.
We were watching the game live.
Watching the game.
And we saw that. And we saw how we felt about Damar Hamlin laying on that field at that time. Once again, we don't know if it's the same thing or whatever, but it was almost like a family member lying there. And then, you know, to find out, and they canceled the game and everything like that. And he's back, and luckily now he's back on the field playing football again. That was a freak accident because he got hit at the right time and all that type of stuff like that. Time. But we've also seen LMU.
Hank Gathers.
And Reggie Lewis for the Boston Celtics. We've seen that happen. But we've also seen guys come back. Kevontae Johnson. Played with Kansas State last year.
Yeah,
was at Florida.
He was at Florida and had
the heart issue, and then he played at Kansas State, helped them have that magical run in the NCAA tournament. Now I believe he's playing in the NBA now for the Oklahoma City Thunder. So you see guys come back from these types of things or whatever. So we're hoping that the same thing could be said when it comes to Bronny James, because a lot of people have high expectations, just want to see what he's like. You know, we saw him in high school doing his thing. Sierra Canyon going from a 4-star to a 5-star. McDonald's All-American. Of course, LeBron James. And a lot of expectations there because of his name. But he's starting to make a name for himself. Mm-hmm. And we like to see that. Yeah. We like to see that. Like Carmelo Anthony's kid. Yep. Carmelo Anthony's kid is a baller.
Carlos Boozer's kid. Ballers.
Ballers. Real ballers. Like can play. You know what I mean? So we like seeing that, and we have those expectations out of those kids, but we don't want to put too much pressure on them at all.
You know, guys are running the league. Kenyon Martin Jr., Gary Payton Jr., we've seen it. Yep. We're at this generation now where guys that we watched growing up and we were fans of, now their kids are playing professionally. It's really awesome to see.
Yeah. Has there been I'm trying to think, in the NBA, has there been – Jalen Rose, his dad was the number one overall pick at one time. Jalen Rose had a better career than his dad. Has there ever been somebody who came whose dad was a superstar and their son got picked and then their son?
Yeah, Barry Bonds. Yeah. His father, Bobby Bonds.
I'm talking about the NBA.
In the NBA.
Ken Griffey, the same thing. You know, we haven't seen that yet where the son actually was better than the dad.
Steph Curry.
There it is. Have you seen that documentary, by the way?
No.
Steph Curry has a documentary.
It's on Apple TV. I'm probably going to watch it this weekend, as a matter of fact.
Awesome.
Yeah, he's got a documentary that's out. It's pretty good.
Is it Apple TV? Am I right about that?
Apple TV. Okay. On Apple TV, talking about just being underrated. Like, people forget that Steph Curry was, like, he wasn't really recruited by anybody. He had to go to Davidson.
Too small.
Yeah. Yeah, he was too small. It's like a little pure. Like he looked like a
He looked
baby.
Like a child.
But... He looked like a child, man, yeah, going into college this entire time in college. Yep. And then even when he was drafted, but it kind of goes back and forth between him being raised as a child and that season with last year, 2021-22 season when they won the NBA championship again. Going back and forth, the ups and downs and being underrated, being counted out, people doubting him or whatever. So it was well put together and showed this the behind the scenes look at Steph and his life and who he was. And then him working on his degree to get a degree out of Davidson as well. So that's
looking forward to that one.
Yeah, looking for you. Definitely got to check
also,
that out.
Also, Mike, his teammate Klay Thompson has probably surpassed his father, Michael Thompson, who people know won a title with the Lakers. So, you know.
That's true. That's
true. You know, Gary Payton second, he's got a lot of work to do to surpass his dad.
Oh, yeah. That might not ever happen. Who do you think is the best father-son duo in all sports, though?
Oh.
Father-son duo.
Father-son duo in all sports.
You're looking at the Griffies. You're looking at the Bonds.
Barry and Bobby might
Barry
be
and Bobby might be there.
And the Griffies, yeah. The
Curry's are good. Obviously, Dell, great three-point shooter.
Oh, well, I mean, it's got to be Arch, Peyton, and Eli, yeah, right?
Yeah, that would probably.
I mean, look at that. You can't go.
Has there ever been two father-son who are Hall of Famers, though?
The Matthews family has got to be up there.
Bruce, Clay.
But Bruce and Clay were brothers, right?
His nephew, I think.
Okay, so I wasn't sure which one is the father and which one is the son.
Let's see. What about the Grant brothers?
Horace, the twins. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't think there's a ever been a father-son combination. That both play, like we know about King Griffey Sr., not a Hall of Famer.
Bobby and Brett Hull.
Brett Hull. Okay. Yeah. See, we forget about hockey sometimes, man. I forget about hockey.
Well, I mean, I'm just going to assume that Tom Brady's son, whatever he does, it's Tom Brady and then Tom Brady's son.
How many kids does Tom Brady have?
Three.
Can you imagine growing up the son of a legend like that and the pressure that's on you? Marcus Jordan, right? Is that the one that's dating Larsa?
Like
he's known more for dating Michael's ex-teammate's wife now than and he plays basketball. I think he played
Florida Atlanta.
He played at a smaller,
is it UCF or FAU?
Yeah, it was like
one
UCF, one of those smaller Florida schools. But being Michael Jordan's son, can you imagine that?
Yeah, that's a lot of pressure.
You know, the Earnhardt.
The
Earnhardt.
That's a really good one.
The Holmes.
We said the Holmes.
I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Dale and Dale Jr. That's a really good one.
I like
that. You got to see that in NASCAR a little more often. Yeah.
Calvin and Grant Hill.
The Andretti's and Formula One and IndyCar racing.
Yeah. Yeah.
We also had a boxing football crossover. We had Ken Norton, Sandy the Boxer.
Right.
Former heavyweight champion and Ken Norton Jr., former Super Bowl champion.
Yeah, but I don't think we've ever had that combination where outside of the holes, where both are Hall of Famers. Yeah. I don't think we've ever seen that. And so with LeBron, and once again, going back to Bronny, and hopefully he's just healthy and he can come back and play basketball, it'll be interesting to see what Bronny can do. He got a great teacher because LeBron is basically a coach.
Yep.
That's one thing I like about LeBron is a great father, great human being. That's what I love about LeBron James. If people talk about, is he better than Jordan? You know, forget about all that type of stuff, man. You're never going to convince anybody. That's what I sometimes hate about this business. Sometimes what I hate about Instagram and Twitter and all those people out there. You can say, look, I'm never going to disrespect LeBron James and say anything negative about this guy. If I think Michael Jordan's better, I'm just going to say Michael Jordan. I think he's better. But you're never going to convince me that LeBron James is better than Michael Jordan. Just like I'm never going to convince a LeBron James fan that Michael Jordan's better. And no matter what you argue, no matter what you say, no matter what stats you throw down, no matter what facts, intangibles, whatever, you're never going to convince. And I know that brings up a lot of the disagreements and the barbershop talk and the screaming and yelling or whatever, man. But
it's true. Once you're steadfast in that belief, like the longer LeBron plays, right? He's going on to, the dude could possibly play 22 years in the NBA. Your argument's only going to get stronger that he's the greatest, if that's what you feel. But again, if you're a Michael Jeffrey Jordan guy, there ain't nothing that no one's going to tell you or show you that's going to move you off of that that stance.
Not at all. Yeah, I've never seen one person ever budge. That's like Blue Ivy now. Growing up with Jay-Z and Beyonce. Blue, you have the pressure's on. Yeah. And she's already in the spotlight right now. Beyonce fans, don't come for me. I love Blue Ivy because I know how the Beehive get down right now. By the way, Beyonce's mom's available. I don't know if y'all know. She's out there back on the market. Back on the market. She's about
going for number four, Mike?
No. No. She's a beautiful lady. Can you imagine? Like, think about this real quick. If she's a lady of a certain age. She's beautiful, gorgeous lady. If Beyonce's mom was interested in you and you're single, and you know you find her attractive, whatever and whatnot, and she came into you, TJ, would you go there? Because knowing that Beyonce's stepdaddy and Jay-Z's kind of stepdaddy too, you know what I mean? Like that,
you kind of have to, right?
How could I say this in the most respectful way that I can say it? Yes. Yes,
absolutely.
Respectfully so. Yeah.
All right, Tina.
I don't have 99 problems with any of that.
Yeah, there you go. I like that.
And going out with her.
The Rock's in the building.
Right, the Rock.
It's your boy.
Did we say Sean Payton's addressing the media?
Oh, Sean Payton talk, maybe.
He's
talking. You got no haters, you ain't popping.
Okay, he ain't popping. Did we say Sean Payton?
Sean Payton talked.
Payton is talking. We're going to hear from Sean. We don't know what Tony Rock. Tony's in Vegas somewhere.
Okay.
So Tony, you know, could be anything.
Vegas might have got Tony Rock.
Can anybody bring up Will Smith on the show? Nobody brought up Will. Nobody brought up Will Smith on the show, right?
No.
Okay, I just want to make sure nobody heard. More coming up.
You played in the World Series of Poker with Matt Damon to prep for the role of Worm and Rounders.
We played in the World Series, Matt and I, not to prep. After the shoot, we were done with the film.
No kidding.
It was part of the run-up promoting the film. We both played along well.
Mm-hmm.
And the coaching we'd gotten from Johnny Chan and Phil Hellmuth and a lot of these other guys stood us in good stead, and I got some good cards and won a few hands and everything. We both had very like dramatic exits. I actually played a Johnny Chan tip. I played pocket nines, mm-hmm, when I was on the button,
uh-huh,
and ended up with kind of, I bet it as though it was an ace king or something like that. I got a middle flop, I got a nine and a 10, and then I got a second 10. So I had a pretty much unreadable full house.
Yes.
And I got beat by four tens.
Get out of here.
By a guy named Surinder Singh.
He quadded tens against
your
boat? Quad
tens against an unreadable full house. And when I called, and I had more chips than him, when I flipped the boat, the whole table exploded. They were like, he's going to take Surinder Singh out of the tournament.
Yeah.
And he flipped quad tens.
Unbelievable.
Yep. It was incredible.
I was going to say, do you remember the hand that you went out with?
Every,
but how
I mean,
could you not remember that?
There's more details of it, too. But he said to me later, he goes, on 99 out of 100 times, he goes, you would have not. He says, I had no idea that you had that hand. I'm blown away.
That and makes it worse, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, worse. I still, as we're talking about it, we're talking about it, and I'm having the Saving Private Ryan moment where everything goes silent again. And, you know, I was trying to play it off, but I just, even a gut shot, when they talk about being gut shot, gut shot,
that
literally.
That is the definition.
Mike Hill back on the Rich Eisen Show on this fun Friday, this Freestyle Friday, Mike with Brock Mandel, Tufo, and my man TJ was hoping to have Tony Rock on the show. Tony did text. Tony's in Vegas. Tony apologizes for not being able to be on the show. You know, he said, I'm in a loud-ass hotel lobby. My room isn't ready. I was hoping to be in my room for the call, which if I would have, I was like, man, go outside. Then I remember he's in Vegas.
Yep.
And it's about 117 in Vegas right now. That's so, true. You know, he's in the lobby. So we're going to excuse you this time, Tony. Well, I'm going to send Will Smith out. He can joke about it because he jokes about it. You know, even part of his act, he talks about the slap and all that type of stuff. And he says something about he was even more upset at Chris support. So you got to see his stand-up. I'm not going to give his joke away, but yeah. So, no, I shouldn't say that. He had a joke about him being upset at Chris because of that or whatnot. So, when Tony, whenever I get an opportunity to come back on the show, I'm going to have Tony come on the show and he can explain his love for Will Smith now. But that's under the bridge. People still talking about that. People still talking about what happened yesterday. Oh, my gosh. Once again, Sean Payton went full ether on Nathaniel Hackett, talking about the coach there and what he had to clean up and how horrible of a coach he was and how much he believes in Russell Wilson and me and Del Tufo all in on the Broncos this year, thinking they're going to be a playoff team. Maybe I say a finish second in the AFC West this year. Sean Payton, he addressed the media today, I understand?
Yeah, he did.
Let's listen to what Sean Payton has to say today.
Yeah, listen. I had one of those moments where I still had my Fox hat on and not my coaching hat on. And, you know, I said this to the team in the meeting yesterday. We've had a great offseason relative to that, you know, and I've been preaching that message. And here I am, the veteran, you know, stepping in it. And, you know, it was a learning experience for me. It was a mistake, obviously. I needed a little bit more filter, you know. There's a pound of flesh for these guys, and as a coach, you stick up for them. And after a while, you know, we're past that season last year, and you know, I said what I said, and obviously I needed a little bit more restraint, and I regret that. That being said, what I told the team is, you know, if it can happen, and I think I'm pretty good relative to working with the media and pretty savvy, and I just had one of those moments. Jared's a good friend, real good at his job, and two lattes in the morning, first one I see, and 40 minutes later, I'm regretting it. So it is what it is.
Oh, he went Nene Leakes.
I said what I said.
No, say what you say, bro. You know, he said he regrets it now. Now, look, thinking about it, you know, backing it up or whatever, but you know what? Once you say it,
oh, it's out there.
You can't. It's out there.
Might as well say what you chest.
People seen it. People heard it. It's already said. So you can apologize all you want to. And Nathaniel Hackett and all the others can accept your apology all they want to, but they're going to remember it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But what I still like is that he said it. But he as a coach, as the leader of the team, he probably had to do that in a sense. Hey, you know what? No distractions. I don't want to become because how can you be the head coach of the team and tell the team not to give other teams or players, you know, locker room material?
Yep.
And you're the coach and you're doing it yourself. Because once again, nobody was talking about the week 5 matchup between the Jets and the Broncos until yesterday. Well, we're talking about it now.
Is that a bad thing?
We're talking about it now. And so the Broncos defense, I know one thing in week 5. Against Aaron Rodgers and possibly Dalvin Cook, that defense better show up against the offensive coordinator named Nathaniel Hackett and the Jets that particular day.
Well, look, the Broncos have my bold, outrageous NFL MVP starting for them. So they're
Russell Wilson, so they might be able to outscore him because Sean Payton's a great offensive coach. That might happen. But once again, man, it's just like that's once when you say it, you said it. And like, you know, look, and he still had his Fox. And sometimes you could be around a reporter. Like being here, like I feel like I don't feel like I'm working. You know what I mean? You get comfortable and you say things. When you're around certain, and that's what makes a good reporter or a good broadcaster, a good broadcaster. When you're talking to them and you're having an interview, you can't make it seem like it's an interview. Let's just talk to my buddy, talk to my friend. And then all of a sudden, hey, man, like you said, a latte. It might not have been a latte. I'm just saying.
That was a triple espresso right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it could have been a different kind of latte. Look, miss, I'm not saying I don't know Sean Payton like that, but I'm saying it could have been. You get a little loose, start saying a couple of things that you regret later. We've all been there. But at the same time, once you say it, you say it. I mean, I've been married 3 times, divorced 3 times. Believe me, I done said a lot of things that came out. I tried to walk away. And they brought me back, and I said, and I can't bring it out. That's why I like, you can't bring it. And anyway, I keep going back. What did my therapist say? What did my therapist say? What did my therapist say? Okay, it's not about me.
Mike, do you want good news? Do you want the good news?
I got some good news.
I can give you some good news right now.
Give me some good news.
You know who hasn't played baseball since June 3rd? Aaron Judge.
He's back tonight.
Oh, yeah.
He's back tonight.
Aaron Judge, he's back tonight. Start tonight.
Spreading the news.
Yankees announced Aaron Judge activated off the injured list.
What?
Expected to play tonight.
What? Come on, boy. I did a little DMX.
What's that?
X gonna give it to you.
Yes. Aaron Judge. Does it matter?
Wow.
Does it matter?
I don't know.
Like and now that's a lot of pressure on a guy who's coming off an injury. You know what I mean? And by the way, injured himself making a remarkable catch. People forget about
that.
One of the
catches of the
year. He made a remarkable catch. Literally ran through a fence to catch a ball that basically saved that game.
He broke the bullpen fence. He broke the Dodger
Stadium. I mean, that's that kind of effort. But you know what? Sometimes when you have somebody like that, with a player like that, who is the MVP of the league, who is a triple crown contender last year, coming back into your lineup, sometimes that gives you a little bit of a boost. Like you say, it's a team. We was talking about the team. Like, yeah. When TJ's gone, you're missing something.
I've never here, though.
So. When Rich is gone, there's something that you're missing. You know, when Brockman's gone, they're too far.
When I'm gone,
there's something.
Happens all the time.
Yeah, there's something that's missing. You know what I mean?
And it's especially Friday, when you some got fellas missing.
Yeah, some fellas missing. Yeah.
Say what?
It's Friday, some fellas missing. You know?
Oh, she said, why is it? There's a gnat flying around here. What's going on here, man? Maybe it's me. I smell like Craig. Anyway. no, but there's something that's missing, and when you have somebody that huge, I mean literally and figuratively, out of the lineup, missing,
you need them.
They need him, and I don't know what kind of, but like, is he that big of a difference that they're gonna make up that make ground? But all it takes is one good run.
Yeah, that's true.
All it takes is getting hot at the right time. Let's remember the Yankees at the beginning of last season. At the beginning of last season, people were talking about the Yankees breaking records.
Yes.
That's how good of the team was. Second half of the season, they faltered. They went this kaput. And then they went into the playoffs. They won a playoff series, and they lost to the Houston Astros in the ALCS. But still, once again, all it takes is a team getting hot at the right time. Remember at the beginning of this season, we were talking about the Tampa Bay Rays. Tampa Bay Rays, hot. And now Tampa Bay Rays, back to life, back to reality. Can I sing that? I don't know if we're okay.
We might get popped.
You can't do that on TV. But anyway, all it takes is you getting hot at the right time. The pitching has actually been okay for the Yankees this year. The bullpen, really solid at the beginning of the season, kind of faltered a little bit in the second half, a little bit now. Still don't have a closer. But at the same time, to have a guy like Aaron Judge in that lineup, man, I mean, the AL East is just tough anyway.
Yeah, so
every
tough.
Team there is over 500. I mean, the Boston Red Sox.
Multiple games over 500. I mean, the Yankees are seven games over, and they're in last place.
And they're in last place. I mean, the Red Sox hit a little bit of a streak, right?
Yeah, we're hot now. We've won 15 out of 20. But
yeah.
They're back.
I mean, we're still seven back. But we're not even in the wild card right now.
And so you think about it, Toronto's been a team that's kind of like middle of the pack. They got all these great players. They've been consistent, just middle, right? Yep. They haven't been too hot. They haven't been too cold or anything like that. The Yankees have been up and down. The Orioles, can they sustain that? Can the Orioles sustain that for the rest of the season?
They're on fire.
Tampa's coming down a little bit, but can Baltimore, when it matters the most, when you're talking about pressure, baseball. This is the time of the year when pressure gets to you. Can Baltimore sustain that? That is the big question in the AL East. So, look, I hope Judge comes back. Hope he makes a difference. As a Yankees fan, I would love to see that. Baseball is, no matter what you feel about it, baseball is always better when you got the Yankees and the Dodgers and teams like that. Yep. The Red Sox contending. It is. Just like in basketball, it's always good to see the Lakers and the Celtics do well.
Yep.
There are certain teams, NFL, it's important for the Dallas Cowboys to do well. It really is. It is.
It is.
It's good for business, man.
It's good for business. It really is good for business. And it's good for the fans because, once again, these are teams that fans either love them or you love to hate them. There is no in-between. There is no, Cowboys, I feel a certain. You either love the Cowboys or you hate the Cowboys. You know, there are certain teams you can like, you know, Jacksonville is like, okay, Jacksonville is, nobody cares.
You don't even think about them.
You don't even think about them.
Yeah.
Cowboys, you get a visceral reaction. Lakers, visceral reaction. Yankees, visceral reaction. Red Sox, especially Yankee fans, visceral reaction. Freak, boy, I wanted to cuss right now. I'm just like, oh, Ooh, I hate Boston. I hate, except Brockman.
Thanks, Mike.
There are certain, I like some of the fans. Some of the fans.
Some.
Some of the fans. Some of the but fans. When I worked at ESPN, some of the fans made me hate that team, man. Fellas, always enjoyable with you
great
guys
stuff,
on radio, man. Thank Blue you today. So much, man. It's thank you to all the people who came on the show with me today. Brady Quinn, Deontay Wilder, expected to have Tony Rott, didn't get it. Looking forward to the fight, looking forward to the NFL season, looking forward to everything that's happening around the world, sports and entertainment. Mike Hill in for Rich Eisen on the Rich Eisen Show. Enjoy your weekend, everybody, on the Radio Shot.
How wrestling really works and how you get the ratings. Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson explain on 83 Weeks.
Collision has been struggling a little bit out of the gate with these ticket sales.
A little bit out of the gate. This was a major show announced on a major network with what everybody thought was this huge star, CM Punk. I said he was going to be the biggest financial flop in wrestling history, and I think I'm being proven right every minute of the day.
83 Weeks on YouTube or wherever you listen.